Hello, Ms. Pica, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my gifted soul partner, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And you are as well. We are continuing our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Zephaniah, which contains lots of meat about the end of the end. And we want to thank those of you who responded that they were so glad that we were teaching a verse-by-verse study and that you look forward to our program every week. That's very inspiring. And we love to hear from you, and we do pray for your request individually by name.
Yeah, you know, God is still in the healing business.
Amen. Now let's covet his presence.
Abba, Father, we extol you and thank you for your great gift of your word. For Yeshua is the word that will always shine brightly in the darkness. We pray healing on the suffering who are called by your name and need your supernatural comfort. We continue to plead the blood of your salvation over our loved ones. We pray for the increasing number of persecuted Christians and Jews around the world. And we pray protection over those thousands of unaccounted children who cross over our border. But even in the midst of evil, your many revivals keep happening everywhere with many salvations. We ask for a double dose of your Holy Spirit tonight upon all of us as we study your word. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, what's the latest concerning Israel?
Well, Ambassador Dannon told the UN it's high time they more heavily condemn Hamas after the execution of those six more hostages, including an American Jew. But it seems to have fallen on deaf ears.
As usual.
Meanwhile, Britain has said no to sending certain arms to Israel. And the Philadelphia corridor still remains the sticking point to any ceasefire, because Israel knows that not only will they sneak in weapons, but they also have intelligence that claims Hamas's October 7th mastermind, Sinwar, wants to escape to Iran.
And to take some hostages with him.
There was a report that he was seen dressed as a woman in their abaya, you know, where only the eyes are visible.
And is Hamas still firing rockets from Gaza?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Israel just this morning hit a Hamas command center, killing three terrorist leaders. Sadly, since Hamas uses their own people as human shields, about 40 others were also killed. Israel also hit Syria this morning, targeting a pro-Iranian weapons installation. Meanwhile, Hezbollah continues daily rockets. And, of course, the IDF responds, and they say they are having successes.
And there are troubles in the West Bank, too.
And lately on the border with Jordan, who is allowing Iran to transfer weapons into the West Bank, where the settlers are still fighting to hold on to their land in Samaria. And now Hamas is using a new tactic by releasing videos of the hostages begging for Israel to cease fire or they would be killed.
Well, that's great propaganda.
Yeah, psychological warfare.
And it's working.
Yep. As we do see the protests getting larger, and even Biden blames Netanyahu, saying last week he just wasn't doing enough.
In other words, take a loss.
Right. End the war to Hamas so they can do it again later. Well, on a lighter note, did you see the pictures of many Jews in Israel wearing red kippahs with Trump's name in big white letters?
Yes, that brought a smile to my face.
Me too.
Update on Ukraine.
Yeah, they have upped its game plan and captured more than 100 Russian towns since it's thrust over their border last month. President Zelensky says that he doesn't want to hold the areas forever, but would occupy it for now as a bargaining chip in any future talks to end the war.
Which Putin also says wants to happen.
He did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now Ukraine is in its second month in Russian territory, but making efforts to differentiate its occupation by observing humanitarian laws. Not like Russia's well-documented campaign of theft, execution, and torture of civilians, and the deportation of thousands of children from occupied Ukraine. Zelensky says it is very important for us not to be like those who brought war to us with looting and rape, because we behave like humans, close quote.
Okay, be sure to end your comments and your end-time questions to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office, leaving your phone number with a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021, with your phone number, please. And yes, we still need your help to stay on the air, and with various other expenses too. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
And still all for free.
Okay, we are continuing in Zephaniah.
Well, we covered chapter 1 last week.
And we have a quick summary of that.
Yep. It's a great warning book. First to Judah by Babylon. And then it skips ahead to the words in that day for Israel and the whole world. But as we have often said, through that judgment called Jacob's trouble, all Israel will get saved, according to Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22.
Also, Romans 11.
And we are told in Revelation 7 that the 144,000 Israelis are the new first fruits of salvation at the very beginning of in that day, occurring right after we leave.
Just prior to the seals being opened in Revelation 6.
Yes. And we know by Revelation 12, when they flee to the mountains for protection from the Antichrist, that they are saved, because it tells us in verse 17. So Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of young King Josiah after his evil father, King Aman, was assassinated by his own officials.
And Zephaniah and King Josiah were distant cousins.
Therefore, both from the royal line of their great-great-grandfather, King Hezekiah. Now, we learn from Zephaniah that he hated compromise, which is why God chose him to give the royal court a very strict message of their coming destruction. Now, it doesn't say, but I would bet it was during Teshuvah.
Likely so.
It's interesting how God often warns the people ahead of judgment.
Like we are being warned today.
Oh, the signs are very obvious. Most of chapter 1 was pretty self-explanatory. And actually, the next two chapters are not difficult either. Not much hidden or under-the-surface meanings.
It's a very straightforward book.
Mm-hmm. God wanted even the casual reader to benefit by this knowledge. Of course, a few verses we'll need comment on, as we did last week, which, by the way, is up on our webpage if you missed it. So let's just start reading in chapter 2, where we see God still again warning the people to repent before it's too late. And he, through his many ministers, is pleading the same thing today.
Zephaniah chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you.
You might think he just repeated the same thing, but the first time he just said the Lord's fierce anger. But then he says the day of the Lord's fierce anger, meaning first he's talking to Israel's soon coming judgment from Babylon. But then by using the words the day, he is speaking to the last generation about to enter the final judgment detailed in Revelation.
Easy to miss when you're reading casually.
or not knowing Jewish terminology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 3.
Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth.
Meaning those gentle and kind.
Who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness.
Not just look for it, but rather to embrace righteousness.
Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger.
Okay, first of all, God would not say you might be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger if it was not attainable. And we know from Scripture it surely is. Not only is that a rapture scripture in the Old Testament, but we see two prophecies going on here. Keep in mind, verse 3 is still in the future day of the Lord, and we who are righteous will be taken up, hidden from the complete evil darkness that comes upon the earth. But as well, during the last half of the 7 years after the Jews' salvation from Ezekiel 38 war, they too will be hidden after they escape the Antichrist as he follows them into the wilderness down south. But there is an earthquake that divides the land, so the Antichrist has to turn back north to the other Jews who have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Revelation 12, verses 13 through 17.
That's right. Now in verses 4 and 5 of Zephaniah 2, it's not a complete list, but does record the surrounding cities, including Gaza, hovering along the Mediterranean coastline to be judged along with the names of Israel's enemies. Verse 4.
For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you, so there shall be no inhabitant.
Zephaniah says there will be no more enemies, so obviously it appears later. And it happens later in the day of the Lord. Assured victory someday soon. And now Zephaniah continues by describing how it will look in the millennial kingdom. Verse 6 and 7.
The seacoast shall be pastures, with shelters for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there in the houses of Ashkelon. They shall lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives.
Gee, that sounds similar to Psalm 23, land of green pastures.
Yep.
The enemies are removed and no more captivity. Next, we read about the section of what today is Jordan, but in the same area, at the southern end of the salty Dead Sea, once stood the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see here that God compares them alike. And this is still happening right now. Verse 8.
I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them.
Again, this is the area of Jordan today, who were the descendants of Lot, whose descendants became enemies to Israel. The residue and the remnant means a promise there will always be his people and never totally wiped out, you know, like Hitler tried to do and many others have and actually still are. But they will be corrected. Israel will be corrected. And we read that in Jeremiah 30:11. So in verse 10 and 11, Zephaniah gives a reason for their enemies' annihilation.
This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them.
And that actually means terrible, and they will be a fearful awe of what's happening.
For he will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. People shall worship him.
Of course, meaning the true God.
Each one from his place, indeed, all the shores of the nations.
You know, there are still little g gods today all over the world, you know, in statues, monuments, and even money. There are many things that are being worshipped. They, by the way, the original little g gods came from the Nephilim, and they were called the giants. And we've been over that many times. And even archaeologists are still today finding many giant skeletons everywhere, including Ohio. And you might want to check out the books by L.A. Marzulli. He gives a great analysis of that. And after my researching, I've concluded, especially from Enoch's writings that Peter and Jude also read, that God wanted his angels to be useful. Therefore, he did appoint them to various positions, giving them all a free will, with some to assist him by overseeing the Gentile nations.
Except Israel, that was God's land.
And still is. But as time went on, the angels began to be worshipped, and apparently they liked it. And so they fell from God's grace and did some terrible things. And scripture supports this, as in Psalm 82, where God, as a result, condemns these angels and says they will now die as men do. And Daniel 10 makes reference to the prince of Persia, of course that's today's Iran, as this rebellious angel fighting with the two good angels named Gabriel and Michael.
Okay, so back to Zephaniah chapter 2.
Yes, for now, we're in verse 12. God expands the areas to be judged in the end of days, and then also cites pride as their downfall by the end of chapter 2. But first, let's continue in verse 12.
You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword.
Now that's interesting, because in Revelation 19:15, we see when Jesus returns that out of his mouth a sharp sword, in which he strikes the nations. It's amazing to see how the end times are confirmed in the Old Testament too, so to complement the New Testament prophecies.
For sure.
Now in verse 13 through 15, God continues his judgment calls, but now he goes back closer to their present time and what will happen to them soon, particularly to Nineveh and Assyria, who had already conquered the northern tribes of Israel 100 years earlier. And we know this prophecy was fulfilled and came to ruins in 612 B.C. for Nineveh and in 609 B.C. for Assyria. Zephaniah wrote, around 640 B.C., so that's about 30 years later, these three next verses were fulfilled. Verse 13.
And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness.
And now Zephaniah describes how the animals will take advantage of the ruins. Verse 14.
The herd shall lie down in her midst, every beast of the nation.
In other words, they won't have to worry about being hunted down and can relax.
Both the pelican and the bittern.
That is a bird that has long legs and, like the pelican, enjoys being around the water.
They shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars.
And that's what would have been left standing after the fallen down palaces.
Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be at the threshold, for he will lie bare the cedar work.
again what is left after the destruction of the cedar houses. And finally, verse 15 again gives the main reason for their judgment.
This is the rejoicing city that dwelt securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none besides me. How she became a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down. Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his fist.
Well, that prophecy was fulfilled, as so many others have been, and we still have more to go, and they are coming fast. So chapter 3 of Zephaniah is longer, and we'll do that next time, but as an overview, these concluding prophecies of God are sad because they show how God gave Jerusalem many chances, but they still acted corruptly and sinfully. And we know about 50 years later, judgment did come to Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar attacked, destroyed their temple, and took Judah to Babylon for 70 years. Zephaniah's ending prophecies includes more declarations about the final judgment of indignation, but then ends with good news of Christ's coming millennial kingdom, which we will look at in more detail, comparing some other scriptures, especially in Isaiah. But let me ask you, how does this study affect you personally? How do you stand up to today's unwavering worldly pressure? Are you being complacent? When you see error, how do you respond? By tolerance, silence, or even compromising what you know to be against God's principles? You do have the ability to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and through His Word, which gives you that power to be strong in the face of evil. We can do this. So mainly be honest with yourself. Do you only run to God when you want something or when you're going through hard times? Or do you praise and thank Him every chance you can, praying unceasingly at every opportunity? Do you set aside a certain time for deep and personal Bible study? Those are important questions we should all ask ourselves. And most importantly, are you really saved? Or is it just a head knowledge? If you have any doubts, you got to start over again. Get down on your knees. That's very humbling. There's just something about it when you're down on your knees. And then, of course, repent. And then invite Him to be Lord over your life. This is talking about your eternity, where you're going to be forever and ever. Don't you want to be with Him? Jesus is your Savior, who has totally paid your debt for all your sins, if you want it. But you got to grab it, and then you got to hold it tight, caress it, knowing that no man can take you out of His righteous right hand. So do it now, while there is yet time, for the window is closing. Unless you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself, think about it. It's always your choice. He sends nobody to hell. It's your choice that you want to go there. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom that really passes all understanding. It's really amazing. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper. Till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.